You may be seated, and if you would, turn to Ecclesiastes. And by the way, I did not plan to do a little praying through the Bible with you there. That actually, turning to Romans, and I was in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 13 and Romans 13 are a little bit different. I had to get my way back over to Romans. But we have the Scripture here to help us when we struggle for how to pray, and even to just train us in how to pray. Thank you for your kind continuing to come back each week through this series in Ecclesiastes, my first time to preach through this. As I've been learning and trying to convey the intricacies of Solomon's research paper, we have this one in 2 more weeks. I think these will be a little more clear and understandable. I mean, some of it's just this tough text, and I try to do the best I can. I pray God has used it and will use it. It's His Word. But I've kind of planned these for today, and then for a Communion Sunday next week, and then a final before we have our meal together, and we will conclude it. But today, we're going to read 11:4 through 12:1a. These last few we read last week. So 11:4, this is God's Word. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the way the Spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a woman with child, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything. In the morning sow your seed, and at evening withhold not your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come. This is God's Word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the Word of our God stands forever. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, we pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Life under the sun. Or do you have a bucket list? We're going to look at this passage in three areas, three sections. 4 through 6, work and receive. 7 and 8, live and learn. The live and learn also points us forward to the third section, rejoice and remember. The first and the third sections will be a little longer. The second point will be shorter, I can say honestly. Life under the sun. Here at the end of the book, Solomon is reviewing and sort of restating some of the things he's already stated. He is just reminding us again and again of how to live our lives day by day in this world, the world God created. He created it good. Sin came into it. It fell. God has redeemed it. He's promised a Redeemer. The Redeemer's come. And we can live. And we can rejoice. And we can be His people for the days that He's given us. So again, you have to think about this. We're now kind of applying what He has taught us, and we're working towards a conclusion in which He gives a clear conclusion in chapter 12. So work and receive. As we live life under the sun, He's telling us work and you'll receive. Verse 4, if we are so worried about the weather that we never just get out and sow the seed, then we'll never end up sowing and then we'll have nothing to reap. God knows what's going to happen. God knows the weather He has planned. God knows. Let me go through 4, 5, and 6, and then I'll just make a sort of application overall. So we don't not start working because we're so worried about what's going to happen. We're going to worry about failure. In that case, a failure of crops. Farmers, if anyone know the Lord, that the Lord is involved in their work. All farmers ought to be believers because they know they got to call out to God to help the crops or the livestock or the bass. The catfish or the shrimp to survive and to grow and to thrive. I've said it before and I'll say it again, but it's such an interesting illustration. In Clarksdale, when I was there, I learned, and my prof from Wales, who was taught me at Jackson, said, "Well, let me tell you, Josh, before you go to Clarksdale, you're going to pray that it'll rain, and you're going to pray it'll stop raining so the cotton wouldn't rot in those big loaves of bread that you see sometimes along." God knows. We do our work, and we let God take care of the rest. Husbands and wives come together and have families, and God, we're made in His image. We don't know how, when, as the seed and the egg, to use the biblical simple words, come together, we're made in His image. We have spirits, we have souls. God does it. A child in the womb is made in the image of God. God is at work in everything, it says. He makes everything. Finally, verse 6, "In the morning sow your seed, and at evening do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, whether both good or alike will be good." God knows. Don't let the inevitability of the rain coming or the storm coming, or to go even back up a verse or two before, that the tree falls, the tree dies and falls. Don't let the inevitability of death, of failure sometimes in this world, keep us from trying, keep us from working. Don't overthink yourself into paralysis so that you don't make a decision. In this case, I even think of a young man, not so young anymore, but still a young man, who I knew in a previous place where I served, and he had this wonderful girl who was ready to marry him, and he would never ask her, and he never did, and I don't know why. Don't get mad at the pastor, because I'm not trying to meddle in someone's life. God says, find a good woman, man, find a Christian woman, woman, find a Christian man, and get married. God isn't going to drop you He doesn't tell us, I didn't put this in my pocket. He's not going to, fly it across the little clip. Oh, it's right there. It fell off. So I just think he was too afraid to try. We have to, that's a whole nother sermon. Praying for young people today that they're not, that they will find a wife, find a husband. Or if in this case, that the men would find a woman and marry her and ask her to marry him. And have the joy of family. Work and receive. Wise living means that neither success nor failure is ultimate. Again, I told you my point. First and third point are a little bit longer. Two is going to be shorter. I was challenged. I was really challenged by this one. And part of this is, I'm 51. I've lived long enough to have gone through different seasons of life. I can remember times of life when I know I was living with more gusto, with more joy. Other times that different things were happening. Other times, different things. We've also moved. We've moved a lot. I've been in different churches and different in the ministry, different aspects of ministry, different other bivocational jobs. And as I was thinking about my life, and as David Gibson, a pastor in Scotland, who wrote a book about Ecclesiastes. He didn't cover every verse. He's kind of wrote a general book about it. Has really challenged me about living. That we that we live. And this will also lead us into verse 7. But let me go ahead and read verse 7 and just try to apply this, because this is important for me. I hope it'll be for you. Light is sweet and is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. If a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. So let's add those two verses to the first few. Let him rejoice in them all. Gibson reminds us at the end of the movie Braveheart, of the movie, when William Wallace is preparing to face his executioners. They try to give him an anesthetic, but he refuses it. Prince Isabella of France is going to give him an anesthetic to numb the pain. And she says, "You will die. It will be awful." But in the movie, William Wallace replies, "Every man dies. Not every man really lives." And so Gibson asks us, "I wonder what the difference would make to your life if you believed that there were worse things than dying." You know, you think about in our day, there are laboratories where they're trying to, you know, try to make our bodies last forever. And there's, again, I've listened to Mars Hill Audio Journal before there was podcasts. Well, I listened to it on cassette tape. He would do interviews and record them on cassette tapes. He was way ahead of the podcast revolution. There are people talking about, like, downloading our brains into a, you know, into a software program so we can just go on forever. I mean, this is true. These things, people are so, the people that don't know the Lord, they're so afraid of dying. This is all they have, is this life. And so they make it an idol. But again, getting some help from Gibson here, he's saying, don't make life an idol. Know that you're going to die. But what are you going to do in the meantime? E.E. Cummings said, "Being undead isn't being alive." We live in the days of, on Netflix, I believe you can watch a different zombie show, probably over and over again and again. A zombie, the undead, the living dead, that's not really living. Life is a gift. So Paul says, "Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, but he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully." This is what it's talking about when it says, you know, don't sow your seed in the morning and at the evening don't withhold your hand. In other words, do your work, be generous, don't be afraid to live. Slow down and live your life. Some of you will appreciate this, I hear. I'll give an illustration. In a book, there's some characters: mole, water rat, otter. Some of you have been introduced to them lately, I realize. Betsy tells me. For those who didn't, I'm so that's so cool that some of you are reading that now. The Wind in the Willows. In The Wind in the Willows, mole is just something just draws him from his burrow, and he goes on a quest. And he meets up with water rat, and y'all, those of you who are reading it, they take a ride in a boat on the river. And mole has never experienced anything like that. Sitting in a boat on the river. Any of y'all ever sat in a boat on the river? He never has, and rat has packed a picnic. And they pull off the river into a pool over on the side, and they go in the side to have their picnic. And mole is so excited, he begins. Rat allows him to open up each little item of the picnic. In my mind, thinking about that picnic makes me think about the deviled eggs when y'all bring deviled eggs to our church. Now, think about eating those deviled eggs, not just in the... Imagine if we were having our church supper out on the lawn, eating the deviled egg out on the lawn. How sweet and nice it is. So they have their luncheon, and then Otter shows up, just stopping and enjoying simple things of life. No, here's where I'm going to go back to David Gibson again before I finish point one. This is where he really got me. I'm just going to read it and then give you some personal thoughts. Here's David Gibson. "A life fully lived is a life receiving the reward of today as a gift that you don't deserve and one that God has given you to enjoy. One day it won't be possible. Death is coming. So do your bucket list, not your to-do list. We all have a to-do list. Feed the dog, go to the bank, do the shopping, phone the plumber. But Ecclesiastes is a book that urges us to do our bucket list. If you don't have one, is it because you're too scared to have one in case it never happens or doesn't succeed? If you do have one, then do it. Make it happen somehow. You've got only one life, so live it. Now, this is a pious Scottish preacher, and I found out I'm a little I overthink this. I do it. I'm sort of too much for my own good. I admit I've never really taken to the bucket list idea very much. I think I'm too maybe a little too self-righteous on that. I've been convicted of my self-righteousness on that. We watched Dude Perfect. That's been around for about 12, 15 years. These guys who started putting trick shots on the internet, DudePerfect.com. They've now done this for their career. They do so many funny and interesting things. They're Christian guys. When they were at Texas A&M in college, they started putting trick shots on YouTube. They were one of the first groups that began making a living off of being on YouTube. And they put great stuff on there. And they have they have sponsors. And they have a thing called bucket lists where they'll go, and these are guys probably in their early 30s now, and do things they've never done that are very cool for us as ordinary people who don't have sponsorships on YouTube to watch them do. And I like watching, but I've never fully embraced it. So I just want to tell y'all, let's let David Gibson challenge us. I think I'm one of these guys. I'm too scared to have one, or I think it's sort of unholy to have one. He says, do it. Have your bucket list. Enjoy the world God's given us. It's a gift. Now, he does say, so, what have I said? Work and receive, live and learn. Kind of live and learn bleeds into that. Let me just read these quickly so I can get to the last part. So, if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him remember that days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart, but know that for all these God will bring you into judgment. The point is to enjoy and obey. That might have been a better title for the second point. Enjoy and obey. Dream. Live. Live life. And he is not saying to think of this life as all there is. He's actually thinking that because we have eternity, we should use what we have now. Right now counts forever. Enjoy the blessing of being alive. But remember, we're believers. There's a moral, we live in a moral universe. God has even written his word on the hearts of those who don't even know him. That's the only way they understand that it's wrong to kill someone, to murder someone, that is, particularly. That they know that they don't want someone to come to their house and steal their stuff. They know that's wrong. Even if they don't trust Jesus, God's put his word on our hearts. So we'd be busy at good things. Things in which we can glorify God. Because darkness, days of darkness will come. Next week, we're going to consider that more specifically. How he's talking about old age, and he's talking about sickness, and how we, our bodies at different times, at different points, for different reasons, begin to deteriorate. Sometimes it happens more when younger, sometimes it happens older, somewhere in between. So, trust God, love God in the moment, knowing that it's worth eternity. So when he says, walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes, he's saying, enjoy this life that God's given you. But do understand, enjoy it as a believer, as a Christian. Live and learn, enjoy and obey, rejoice and remember. rejoice and remember. I've already read this. Know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Remember, vanity means it's fleeting, not that it's worthless. It means that it's like a vapor. It doesn't last. That's what he means by vanity. These things on earth don't last. And so I went ahead and peeked into next week. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come. God is not withholding things from us. I've probably, going back to my own, kind of what I feel like the rebuke and a challenge to think bigger about just enjoying life myself and to glorify God and to explore the things He's given us. I think sometimes we can think God is withholding something from us. But He tells us, this is a command. Let me point you there. Verse 9, rejoice. That is a command. It's interesting, if we go all the way back to Deuteronomy 28:47, when God is giving his blessings and His curses for obedience or disobedience, He says something interesting in 28:47. He says, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and gladness of heart. We serve God with joyfulness and gladness of heart. And He gives us the ability to be content. And so, let me kind of bring it together, this idea, because this is not about saying to go be a hedonist. It's saying what, in John Piper's words, maybe be a Christian hedonist. And by that, he simply means what the first question of the Westminster Catechism, what is the chief end of man? To glorify God and, any of y'all know what's the second part? Enjoy Him forever. Those old, crotchety Westminster divines who tell us about what we ought to do and not do, we think they're telling us what we can do or not do on the Sabbath. Their first question is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Okay, we're not called to anxiety, sorrow, and sadness as a rule. There's times to mourn. There are times to mourn. When someone's mourning, don't go throw Romans 8:28 at them. That's not when they need Romans 8:28. Later on, they'll realize Romans 8:28 is working in their life. Things are working for good, but at the moment that it feels really bad, that's not what we tell them. We go and in their seven good days, Job's comforters, we do what they did in those first seven good days. We just go and be quiet and be there for them. There's a time to mourn, but there's also times for joy, to enjoy the picnic by the river with Rat and Mole and Otter. Yet we remember, as the hymn goes, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. So no Eeyores in the church. I tend a little bit toward Eeyores. I really do. Don't stifle happy moments for someone. Embrace youth. Even the feeling of youth we can still have, can't we? But reject evil. Embrace life today, but reject evil. Remember our Creator. I'll close with this. Remember. Verse 12, chapter 12, verse 1. Remember also your Creator. In the Bible, these words, these verbs are a little thicker than we think about them. Remember involves action. Remember our Creator. Recollect. Even right now, if God will give you memory, think about what He's done for you. Think about, we'll start with the next, think about a really difficult challenge, but that God brought you through it. and you're still here. Think about the joyful times. Remember, y'all know I love music, and I've played music and sung music with my children all through our life, and there's so many different things where songs, and I really remember by my ears. Songs take me all through my life. One of my sons, it was so cool that Fulton asked me to make him a playlist of some songs I had played for him. And so I really went crazy on Apple Music making a playlist. So I've been reviewing my life through music here lately. But we have a song that was playing that we played a lot while we were on this one trip to Myrtle Beach. When our church in South Carolina would do an every other year trip as a church to Myrtle Beach. So this song is like the Myrtle Beach song. So this song comes on and we remember driving up and down because we're like Florida, you know, we're Florida panhandle people. Myrtle Beach wasn't our normal place to go. So that was a unique. Remember what God's done. Remember good moments. And also remember there is an eternity with Him. As Dr. Sproul said, right now counts forever. So, because as we already said today, we prayed it and then we sang it. Because, Christian, God has made you holy and blameless. When He looks at you, He sees the righteousness of Christ. Because of that, Christian, work and receive. Live and learn. Enjoy and obey. Rejoice and remember. Because Jesus loves us. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Minister to those this morning who thoughts like this perhaps bring sadness. Give them a sense of your presence and also give us a sense of your joy, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.